So tell me, how you doing? How are you doing since you became a Christian? Fine? Well, that's good. Well, that's real good. Oh, great, you say. Oh, hey, that's even better. I mean, fine is fine, but great is greater, right? You say life's never been better? Ooh, wow, good stuff. Well, I don't want to ruin your day, but here's my question. Are you sure you're a Christian? Are you? Now, you ask that to a lot of people who are real churchgoers and think they're Christians and would convince anybody through their gift of gab that they are, and they're not really sealed by the blood. Well, they might punch you in the nose. But you know what? There are a lot of people walking around like that. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Of course I'm a Christian. Don't insult me like that. Well, tell me, sir, or tell me, madam, have you read 2 Timothy verse 3? 2 Timothy 3, rather, verse 12. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. After I give you the title of my sermon and have a short prayer, well, let's do the prayer first, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to give this message out. I pray, Lord, you'd give me utterance. And, Lord, that you'd fill me, Lord, with what is necessary, with the great hope, Lord, that we have as Christians, knowing that no matter what, as long as we have believed in Thee, Lord, truly believed in Thee and accepted Thee as Savior, and the blood of Jesus Christ is upon us, we're guaranteed a place in glory. And that's good enough for me. Oh, yes. For I ask and pray in Jesus' wonderful name and for His sake. Now, the title of my message is, Many Are Called. Many are called, but few are chosen. Ooh, few are chosen. Now, may I read it for you? Well, I already did, okay? No, I haven't read it. I haven't read 2 Timothy 3. I said a prayer, right? You have to excuse me. I'm just catching up with myself. I had a late night and didn't sleep well. Anyway, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, isn't that a pleasant thought? Right up to all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Let me read it again. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall, excuse me, suffer persecution. Now, according to Scripture, the Apostle Paul, well, he suffered more persecution than any born-again Christian I've ever heard of. Now, why do you think that might be? Because Paul, well, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Until that day, as he traveled toward Damascus, well, Paul, or Saul, as he was first known, became a chosen vessel of the Lord. A chosen vessel of the Lord. You might say, well, he renounced his citizenship on earth for a man called Jesus. Oh, yep. Yes, sir. Now, in many countries, that would be called treason. However, when God when God separates a chosen vessel from life's wolf pack, well, you can be sure our heart will be changed. Oh, yes. I know what you're thinking. Paul could have said no. But then again, Paul didn't really have a choice. Or did he? Or did he? Now, let's compare your thoughts or your scenario to that of Paul's. Let's pretend you're a highly crafted government watchdog, faithful to your cause. Everything you have in life, you either stole or it came to you on a silver platter. Then, one day you were walking down the road, minding your own business, when suddenly there shone about you a great light from heaven. Wow! Being mesmerized by the light, you fall to the earth, and you hear a voice saying, "Saul, Saul," or it could be, "Jim, Jim, why persecutest thou me?" Wow. And you say, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord says to you, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." Well, I don't know about what you would do. And as a matter of truth, I don't know what I would do either. But this one thing I do know, I would take heed. I would take heed. And I would likely say, "Lord, what do you want with me? Huh?" However, Paul, on the other hand, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That sounds better, doesn't it? What wilt thou have me to do? Now, in the meantime, well, I'd be about a half a mile down the road trying to tell myself, "There ain't no light. There ain't no light. There just ain't no light." And that weren't the Lord calling. That weren't the Lord calling. No, seriously, though. Seriously. There are two things that come to mind. Persecution and chosen. Persecution and chosen. Why did Jesus use the word persecution? Well, let us begin by looking at the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 1. The persecution of the church, of his church. We read, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," talking about Stephen here, "and at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Okay. Are there not two types of persecution? Two types of persecution. Number one, persecutions, that's plural, when we rail against God. And number two, persecutions we must suffer if we walk with Christ. Now, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, Paul tells us he takes pleasure in persecutions for Christ's sake. "For when I am weak, then am I strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, obviously, Paul was called. It speaks for itself. Why? Why was Paul called of God? Was it because Paul was a smart, good-looking young man with a great future? Now, that's a trick question, of course, isn't it? We all know that Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, was, in today's vernacular, nothing short of a murdering, self-righteous scumbag. Harsh words. Someone whom poor, decent folk would sooner avoid. You see, Paul didn't like Christians. He wanted Christians to be killed. He didn't like them at all. Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, man. But, or someone, was he someone, other than what I just said, murdering self-righteous scumbag, was he someone whom poor decent folk would sooner avoid? But since God uses, and this is important, since God uses whomever he will for whatever he will, can we not rest assured that God knows the end from the beginning? He knows what's coming tomorrow. He knows what's coming 100 years from now. I mean, after all, did God not use David to show his great might, his great power and persecution? To say nothing of David volunteer. I call it volunteerism. It's a volunteer, but I put the ism on the end. See, there's a lot of isms around these days. David was a volunteer. Or was he? To say nothing of, his status in the community. I think he spent more time running and hiding from the Lord than he did anything else. And did God not choose Moses? We'll leave David alone for a moment, and we're going to go to Moses. Did God not choose Moses? A subtle, quiet sheep herder with a speech impediment? And what about the Pharaoh in all of Egypt? The Pharaoh of all Egypt. Pharaoh could not be saved. This is a chief example of God's foreknowledge. Just like he knows whom among us, me and you, will be saved. He knows before we even come to him if we'll be saved or not. He knows when we're still in the womb if we will be saved or not. God, the great creator of heaven and earth, knows, like I said, the end from the beginning. His foreknowledge, this is important now, his foreknowledge can never be disputed nor surpassed. Are not persecution and chosen somewhat interchangeable? When one is chosen, as was Saul, God knew that great persecution would come upon him. A chosen vessel, well, a chosen vessel is a broken vessel. The scripture is very clear, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Right? You've heard that before, haven't you? In Matthew 24:14 we read, now this is Jesus at the marriage supper, okay? For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. I cannot impress that or highlight it enough. Many are called, but few are chosen. It breaks my heart, when I hear the unsaved say, hey, I wasn't called. When in fact, we are all called. We are all called. Oh, yes, we are. Now, I'm going to explain that so I don't get confused here. For many are called, but few are chosen. We are all called to the communion table of the Lamb. To the communion table of the Lamb. God is not willing that any should perish. Have you got that? That any should perish. Now, if we look at Peter 3, verse 9, we read, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise," as some men would count slackness, "but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." What more do we need to know? God is not willing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Deuteronomy, God called Israel his chosen people. By the way, Israel is still God's chosen people. They've just been set aside. Nothing has changed. Called. God called the light day, didn't he? In the beginning. And the darkness he called night. We didn't know what day and night were. God also called us by name. By name. Now, Jesus is called Christ. Right? In Matthew 4, verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Wow. Paul was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, and all of us who are sanctified in Christ Jesus are called to be saints. Who are sanctified now in Christ Jesus, who have believed, have repented and believed. That's how you get sanctified in Jesus. We become saints of God. Now, I admit there may be times when we feel that God has forsaken us. But no, God doesn't forsake his own. In reality, it's us who have forsaken God. It's us who have forsaken God. When even one day passes by that we fail to approach the throne of grace in prayer, then we are forsaking our God. We're ignoring him. We expect a lot from him, don't we? Oh, yeah. Oh, God, help me. Please, God. But all that he asks of us is that we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Now, Jesus tells us in John 15, verse 14, listen carefully, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." If ye do whatsoever I command you, ye are my friends. I mean, after all, consider what he did for us at Calvary. The least we can do is believe in him. Many are called, but few are chosen. Look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh, was he called or chosen? Well, we must be careful how we answer. This is a little bit different. Since God is not willing that any should perish, I mentioned it before. God is omniscient. That means all-knowing. He knows what's coming down the road. He knows what's coming 100 years from now. His foreknowledge precedes his predestination. In other words, he knows if you're going to get saved or not. If you're going to come to Jesus, believe in the gospel. He knows that. Did you get that? God is all-knowing. All-knowing. In other words, He knows even before we leave the womb. Now, there's something. Who will and who will not come to Him in faith believing? He knows. Now, concerning Pharaoh, well, God knew that Pharaoh would never accept Him, would never turn to Him, would never repent and believe in Him. He knew that. Therefore, we know that Pharaoh became, here it comes, a chosen vessel. A chosen vessel. God would raise him up to destruction and use him to show God's great glory and power. Why? You may ask, why? Why would he do that to Pharaoh? No, Pharaoh did it to himself. God didn't say, I appoint you to ignore me, to not believe in me. No, he knew that before Pharaoh became Pharaoh, that he would not accept him, not accept God. He would not believe. You see, that's the whole issue. That's the entire issue. God glorified. God glorified. Thus we see His mighty power over Pharaoh's armies and the miraculous parting of the Red Sea. Ooh. God uses whomever and whatever He desires to His own honor and glory. So, there you have it. Are you called? Are you chosen? Well, there's some like Paul or Saul who were called and chosen. But God knew the heart. God knew the heart. How is it with you? Does God know your heart? God used David. God used David, a sinner of sinners, to commit murder. Why? That we might know His mighty love and forgiveness. In other words, there is no sin too great that God cannot or will not forgive, except the sin of rejection. Was David chosen? Yes. He was chosen to glorify our great God. The list goes on. Many are called. Oh, yes, indeed. But few are chosen. Which are you? You might say, well, I know I'm called because I came to Christ a long time ago and I believe He's my Savior. I repented and I believed in the gospel. That's great. But are you chosen for a particular task that God has for you? You see, you don't sit around on your laurels, as they say, and wait for something to happen. You got to get on the move. You got to get on your knees. You got to pray. And I say pray without ceasing. God loves you. God loves all His children. Remember, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but I believe I'm called. The fact of the matter is, if I wasn't called, I wouldn't even be doing this message right now. What would be the point if I didn't believe? If I hadn't trusted in our Lord God and Jesus, His finished work at the cross, what would be the point of me delivering this message? I wouldn't feel comfortable about it. So there you have it. Many are called, but few are chosen. I want to thank you for listening, and I ask that you visit my website often. I have over 270 sermons there that I voiced all myself, and they all have a pertinent message about our Savior, about our great God, that you need to hear. They're all up to date. So, may God bless you. In Jesus' name.